Hi everybody, this is Terry Laundrie. We're getting ready for our first posting for the month of May, and May 2, 2010. Before we get started on some of the topics that have already been posted here, I do find it much easier if I lay out all my charts on Saturday after I do the regular update for the T3 Foundation, the calculations and daily updates, charts and data. And so I post them up here, and I just want to tell you that the file for last week is available. I erased the most of the file for last Sunday's conversation, but it's down below. You just go down to recent posts, and it's captured down there. So if you want to, if you come in on Friday or Saturday, and you find it's changed here, it's just it's already down there. There's a copy of it. Today we're going to start out with the first audio is a overview, and it's the story of the four pigs, which is a theme that's going around. You'll see in the questions Alvis is what we're talking about, which I'll do in the next part in detail with what we're going to do about the short range T. What we're doing about this cash buildup line that's coming down and so forth. And then Jeffrey says he's looking at previous bull markets to see if there's any similarities. And what he's talking about, a chart program. The better idea is to look at the very big picture. And the thing that happened last week that was very interesting was which relates to this story of the four pigs, is that you're probably familiar with the story of the three pigs, which the first pig had a house of straw, and then that was blown down, and he had his sticks. The second pig had a house of sticks, and it was blown down. Then the third pig got smart and built a house out of brick, and it didn't fall down. Well, that's a story for children. In Wall Street, which has all those sophisticated people down in Wall Street, the story of the four pigs is the P stands for Portugal, the I stands for Iceland, G stands for Greece, and S stands for Spain, and they are the four weak sisters in the Eurozone. And that crisis has started to kind of take over the market, and which I'll tell you about technically why it's occurring. And that phenomenon could be the tip of the iceberg. Relative to what Jeffrey said, if you remember, as you were coming up to the projected top date, which was basically September of 07 for the last bull market, what happened is there was this little signs of problems with Bear Stearns in the collateralized mortgage area, and it looked like it was sort of an isolated incident. But because you were ending the bull market and you're getting ready to go into another bear market, very often what you see as the first problem that looks like it's isolated, but it's starting to bother the market, is the thing that's going to blossom downstream. And because the 40-year cycle is still rolling over, you wonder whether the of course the problem with the four pigs is that they're all in the Eurozone and they're all tied together by a common currency. So what happens is the weak sisters can drag down the strong countries like Germany, and so forth, and they produce this an instability. And you can tell if this is happening because you remember when we did the gold. First of all, we have this long range T for gold that goes from to 2000, basically starting from 2001 to 2020. And we down in the archives, you can go through there and you can look at the categories for gold. And you see, we broke it up this long bull market into periods of rest and then areas of a run. And what we saw was that we had, starting from last fall, you had a top and you pulled around, and by February you're starting to come in and you're going to this growth phase that's probably going to last until the fall. Well, if you look what happens in previous histories for gold, you found out it went up on the up days and it went down on the down days, and for the stock, general stock market. So what you had going on there is a case of the fact that it looks like the gold is going up because of inflation concerns, which come when the economy is doing well. So if people are bullish on stocks, they're going to see long-term interest rates are rising, and so they buy the gold as a hedge. This last week, when we started getting these drops that are pushing the volume oscillator down deeper and deeper, you'd start out the day with your European problem was there when the market opened. The market started to sell off, and gold looked like it was weak, and they said, and that's because what happens is they buy the dollar. And if the Europeans are worried, they'll tend to buy the U.S. dollar. And when you buy the dollar, you strengthen it. And since gold is quoted in dollars, it goes inversely, so the gold will go down. So it's a preference for U.S. dollars. And the reason the dollar is preferred to the gold is gold does not pay a dividend, whereas you can sit in U.S. denominated interest-bearing securities, and you will be able to earn an interest on it. And so it's deemed to be the better way to go for somebody that's outside the United States. So what happened was, as the days started off, we started getting these big down days, which caused the arms ratio to go up. What happened is, at the end of the day, the market was down, but gold was up. So what was happening is that somebody is buying the gold, and it has to be in response to the problem, which could be just the beginning problem for what's going to become the longer-term future, because, you know, the next bear market could last for 3 years based on what we see. So that's the story that's sort of the big story that I think that I saw when I started looking at the points, because Jeffrey's asking a completely different question, because he's asking about what we're going to talk when we get to the Parker's confidence indicator. In other words, are we going to see a sharp correction in the market before we turn up into the late August time period? And but it turns out that you can start to get choppy in the market before you get to the main advanced decline T-top is 26th of August, plus or minus whatever the error is going to be in it, okay? But you can start turning choppy before that period of time. And in some cases, going back through history, what you do is you go strong right into the date, and then you spend 2 or 3 months afterwards kind of making a toppy phase that lasts over, and that's where you're likely to start to see these divergences that Parker's plotted out nicely on those charts. So, but Jeffrey's asking about, well, is it going to look like the 07 where you started to see the choppiness set in because of the markets foreseeing the problems? And the answer is, it seems to me that you probably are seeing some kind of early signs. Whether they turn out to be big or not is up for grabs on the way the market acts later on. But it is an interesting idea that in retrospect you always find out that when a bull market is coming to an end, the seeds of the new bear market are apparent under the surface. They seem to be sort of like a little annoyance, but they're not real serious. The market keeps trying to shake them off. And sometimes it shakes them off completely. Sometimes it can't quite shake them off, depending on how the evolution of the problem is going. The other thing that I noticed last week, which was because it's the end of the month, we do have to do my management reports and so forth, is that I had the questions on China. What do you think about China? Well, I made two recommendations, just two general recommendations. We're not in the business of giving specific recommendations. But one of them was that when the arms ratio started giving warnings in that there was too much volume chasing too few stocks, which is basically the overbought reading, and it came out persistently with that kind of level, that it's a good idea to reduce your investment position where you had something like the example I gave is like 1/3 cash and 2/3 of whatever your investment was. And since we completed the gold thing, it would be a good idea to have some money in the gold. And particularly when your correction period is over and you look like you should be, you know, coming up and going around the fall. Well, when you look at all the funds, you'll see that perhaps the top producing funds, because we look at a gigantic array of funds, is Tocqueville Gold is like number one in the year to date, and it's almost number one in the 12-month category. But if you look at the China, You see it's only up 2% for the year versus S&P is up 7%. And you begin to wonder what's happened to the miracle of China, since it's supposed to be the engine of growth. And it's at least nobody's buying the story because it's up less than the S&P, whereas it used to be well ahead of it. Then if you look at emerging markets, the same's up 2% for the year. And then if you look at Latin America, which is basically Brazil, one of the BRIC countries, that's B-R-I-C for Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And PIGS is the opposite to that. What you see is they're down 1.5% for year to date. So sometimes you read these people talking about the miracle of Latin America, and you keep wondering why they keep writing these stories about the miracle. It was because somebody's trying to push the price up because it's not doing right. The mystery is why the emerging markets, China and Latin America, or Brazil, I'm not sure what's going on in Russia because I don't really follow that one. But the question is, what's going on that this great engine of growth is not running? Well, we're supposed to be coming to the end of the bull market in August, and it could linger in a little top pattern or something like that. But you begin to get suspicious when you see that the great engines of growth of the last bull market seem to be sputtering, and you tend to see signs of instability relative to the PIGS countries, and U.S. is in the lead. It's 7%. It's not great, but if you annualize it, you might do well. But then again, if you top out in August and then turn down into December, maybe it's not going to look that great. But when you finish this year out. So anyway, I think that those are the sort of things that you see sort of creeping in here, and relative to Jeffrey's question, the things that start creeping in as you go into a market top are the things that eventually are going to get you. What's going to happen is, relative to that recommendation that you want to have some cash, is if you did the cash back when things were looking really good, which is that arrow in the daily chart, which says you go up for 2 months. If you start scaling down at that point, maybe you're going to have to start scaling down even more now when you get to the 20th of May, which is the advanced decline T. We're working on. The old saying is sell in May and go away. We don't know that that's true. But then when we get down to Alvis's work, which I'll discuss in the next audio. You keep thinking that that's a good idea, and if you see that there's problems with the PIGS countries and the BRIC countries are not doing very well, that and the gold is coming up, that's sort of an argument for going up from a token position gold to someplace else. And the problem with the gold is you don't know whether the gold is going to correct after May 20th, and therefore you would buy it then, or it's getting ready to go up on the crisis, and so it's likely to go up faster. It's likely to go up faster if the crisis hits in June. You see, so that's the only thing you can do like that is just kind of scale in a little bit. But if you had the token position, at least you've been following the gold, and you're better positioned to that's a difficult decision. Okay, that's it for the first topic, and now we'll get on to the short range T, where we're having we're going to talk with Alvis. That's the chart with all the messy stuff in it, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you.